This recording features Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld, rabbi of the Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills, located in Queens, New York. His topic is Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh.
I'm particularly pleased to be able to record this message about Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, especially so since it is being dedicated by my dear friends and members of our congregation of Young Israel, Dr. and Mrs. David and Vina Horowitz. It gives me an opportunity to express some of the views which I hope I share with you, or you share with me, regarding Yerushalayim. Let me say to begin with that while this may have certain political overtones or undertones, this is not, and I emphasize, not a political address, but an examination of where we stand today with regard to Yerushalayim and where we ought to be. Let me begin by telling you a story which is history. At the end of the last century, the Russian Tsar had decreed that all schools in Russia must be inspected by his inspectors to see if they provide an adequate secular education. As is well known, the Chadorim in Russia and in Poland only taught Limudei Kodesh. Chumash, Rashi, Gemara, Tosfos, Poskim, and most of the children could not even speak Russian or Polish, certainly were not able to do even the most elementary mathematical homework. As a result, the Russian Tsar then decreed that these Chadorim must be closed, or at the very least, must include in their so-called curriculum adequate provisions for the teaching of some modicum of secular knowledge. The Rosh Yeshiva, and especially the Hasidic Rebbeim, saw this as a possible disaster for the future of Torah study within their own system. So when, at a particular day, it was announced that Sir Moses Montefiore, the famous Anglo-Jewish benefactor, would be visiting Russia to plead the cause of Russian Jews who were suffering under the pogroms and persecutions, two of the Hasidic Rebbeim turned to their colleague, the Chiddush Yerim, and suggested to him that they visit Sir Moses Montefiore and ask him to intercede with the Tsar to lift this gezero, this decree, which they saw as a threat to the future of the Cheder. One of those who made the suggestion was Reb Yitzchak Lvorka, the Vorka Rebbe, a Talmud of the Kotzker Rebbe. He turned to his friend, the Chiddushei Harim, the first Gera Rebbe, and asked him to accompany him to visit Sir Moses Montefiore and plead their cause. The Chiddushei Harim said to him, "There's no point in going. Even though Sir Moses Montefiore was a religious Jew, an observant Jew, but we would not accomplish anything with him." When the Volker Rebbe asked the Chiddush Yerim why he thinks so, he said very simply, in Psuke de Zimre we read the Pasuk in Tehillim, "Al tiftachu b'nidivim b'ven adam she'en lo seshua." Do not trust in princes and in men in whom there is no help. Said the Chiddush Yerim, there's another reading, another pshat. When you have a problem and you turn to the Nidivim, to the princes, even the Jewish princes, you have to be absolutely sure that they share your views and that what you want of them is what they want. Al tiftachu b'nidivim, he said, do not turn to princes like Sir Moses Montefiore. Why not? Because he's a ben adam, he's a human being, She'ein lo teshuah, for whom this is not a help. He does not see the abolition of this decree as helping us. He does not share our convictions. He's observant, he's religious, he's pious, does not share our opinions. There's no teshuah coming from him. The reason I mention this story is because some years ago, when Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State, a delegation from the Rabbinical Council, of whom I was president at the time, went to visit Henry Kissinger. And we all remember Kissinger's shuttle diplomacy, we remember his attitude toward the Middle East problems, and he was not considered at the time a friend of Israel, certainly not a friend of the kind of Israel that we in the Torah community wanted to see prosper. We came to the State Department, he received us very courteously, spent over an hour with us, and then he said, let me tell you how I see the future. In years to come, there will be an attempt made to have peace between Israel and the Palestinians. It will result, whether you like it or not, whether we like it or not, in the returning of the shtachim of the territories to the Palestinians, including or excluding maybe some of the settlements, some minor border rectifications. That is bound to come. The real battle will be about Yerushalayim. And there, he said, it depends upon the determination of the people of Israel to retain it. If they will have this determination, and they will have the conviction, they will overcome. If not, Yerushalayim too will be lost. We're going back in almost 20 years or more, and how right Kissinger really turns out to be. Many parts of the Shtachim have been returned, and even under the government of Netanyahu, there's the possibility of more land being returned or given away, depending how you look at it, to the Palestinians. The battle of Yerushalayim is being fought now, and it really depends upon our determination to fight this tenaciously. And this is the problem of today. Are we really that determined, as Am Yisrael, as Medinat Yisrael, to retain all of Yerushalayim? Yes, it is true that even the Labor government and even the late Yitzhak Rabin and Shimon Peres and the entire Marach administration keep saying Jerusalem united, undivided. But we know the truth is the negotiations have been going on, maybe are going on, about allowing Palestinians a certain foothold in Yerushalayim. The question is the Jewish people determined to retain Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh? And I emphasize the word Ir HaKodesh. We look at the battles today in Yerushalayim, the internal Jewish battles between Haredim, Datiyim, Chilonim, the battle of Rehov Bar Ilan. Does this really augur well for the future of our retaining Yerushalayim? Let me tell you a third incident. Again, some years ago, the President's Conference was invited to meet with Prince Bandar of Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabian ambassador, perpetual ambassador, to the United States. He received us very kindly, a great deal of courtesy, a very suave person. And then he said, let me tell you why we are concerned about Jerusalem. Jerusalem, he said, is known in Arabic as Al-Quds, the holy town. And we look at Yerushalayim, we look at Jerusalem, and we see the movies and the discotheques, we see the way people go dressed. There's a lack of sanctity in the streets of Jerusalem. Needless to say, we argued with him, we debated with him, we denied this. But who can deny the fact that the battle of Yerushalayim is taking place within the Jewish community, within the Jewish people? When young people leave Yerushalayim to move to Tel Aviv because they cannot take the atmosphere of true religiosity, when young people demand the movies to be open on Shabbat and discotheques, when the battle of Rehov Bar Ilan is simply a symptom of the internal struggle about Kedushas Yerushalayim, then how are we going to face the non-Jewish world when they level these accusations against us? Most of you have been to Israel several times. One of the most fascinating sights is when you travel by car from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. As you pass Summit Beit Shemesh, you begin to climb the hills of Yerushalayim. And especially at nighttime, all of a sudden you're confronted with an image, a sign, large sign, that at first glance looks like the Aseret HaDibros, the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. Then as you go closer, you see it says McDonald's. That is not a gesture which I am making to make a point. To me, this is symptomatic. If indeed, traveling from Beit Shemesh to Yerushalayim, we would see the Luchos, the Ten Commandments, instead of the McDonald's sign, it would be inspiring to us all. What we see instead is the westernization, not necessarily Americanization, but the westernization of Jewish values. Of course, you and I know that the real Yerushalayim is there. The real Yerushalayim of the Chadorim, Yeshivot, and the general population, which is Dati, is a wonderful thing and allows us to refer to it as Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. But to my view, the battle that Kissinger spoke about is beginning now not only with the Arabs, but within ourselves. And we as religious Jews, as religious Zionists in the classical sense of the word, must be constantly aware of what is happening. Yerushalayim Harim Savivla, says David HaMelech. Yerushalayim is surrounded by mountains. And these mountains are not necessarily limited to geography. They are mountains to be overcome, mountains to be climbed. Mi yale behar Hashem. And it is our obligation as Torah committed Jews to increase the religiosity, the Torah culture, and Torah atmosphere of Yerushalayim. But at the same time, we have to understand that the present political situation really is symptomatic of what our battle is all about. The agreements signed in Oslo are not simply diplomatic or political agreements. It created an atmosphere whereby Jews are ready to yield and to cede land to the Palestinians. Jews who would have been inspired by Tehillim, by Tanakh, by the Chumash, by the Torah, would not have so willingly and readily yielded and ceded these lands. So the battle is one among ourselves. And it is not enough to decry the situation, but we have an obligation to strengthen every single Torah institution in Eretz Yisrael, particularly in Yerushalayim, from extreme Haredi to what you may call left of center, Dati Leumi. I once heard the Rav Kook of Rehovot Shalita quote a pasuk in Nachamu Nachamu Ami as interpreted by his revered uncle, Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. In the Haftarah, we read as follows: Al har gevoah alilach mivaseret Zion. Upon a high mountain, go up, you who proclaim Zion. Horimi barkoach kolech, raise your voice with strength, mivaseret Yerushalayim, you who bring news to Jerusalem. Said the later Rav Kook Zichron Livracha. When you fight about Eretz Yisrael, in the United Nations, with the Gentiles, any place, you have to do the best you can. Ahar gevoah alilach, go on high mountains and proclaim Eretz Yisrael is ours. You may not succeed. But when it comes to Yerushalayim, the novice says, Orimi bakolach kolech, raise your voice with strength, mivaseret Yerushalayim. Nothing must stand in the way. You have to fight to the very end. Horimi al tiroi, raise your voice and be not afraid. Imri le'orei Yehuda, say unto the cities of Judah, Judea, Hinei Elokechem, here is your God. It would seem to me that this is the message which we have to bear in mind. We speak about Israel, Medinas Yisrael, we celebrate it, Yom Ha'atzma'ut, and we go and we climb mountains, we climb fortresses. But do we really proclaim our strength about Yerushalayim, our position, our right? As the novice said, Horimi v'korach kolech, every ounce of energy must be spent on retaining Yerushalayim. Now what does the Navi then say, the second half of the Pasuk? Speak unto the cities of Yehuda, here is your God. As if to say to us that a Kedusha v'Eretz Yisrael has to emanate from Yerushalayim. Once you are in Yerushalayim, says the Navi, Imri lorei Yehuda, then the rest of Yehuda will follow. Now there's an old minhag among Hasidim and Svardim that Shabbos before Kiddush during the day, you study the Mishnah in Kelim, which tells us Eser Kiddushas Hem, the 10 degrees of holiness, beginning with Eretz Yisrael and ending in the Beis Hamikdash. I always wondered, how can there be degrees of Kedusha? Either something is Kodesh, it is holy, or it is not. Can there be an in-between stage? And the answer is that we have to look in the Ramban, the famous Ramban in Kedoshim, who defines Kedusha as hafresh atzmacho min ha-mutalach. Keep it away from that which is normally permitted. If Kedusha means inspiring people with sanctity, inspiring them with the love of Eretz Yisrael, then there has to be more Kedusha in that sense of the word. There are 10 degrees of Kedusha, and Yerushalayim is among the highest. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, whether it's Nafula, Tel Aviv, Dimona, Kiryat Shmona, depends upon the degree of Kedusha that we bring to Yerushalayim. And that is what the Navi says, Imri lo rei Yehuda, once you've raised your voice about Yerushalayim, Bakorach, then you speak to the rest of Judea, of Yehuda and Shamron, Hinei Elokechem. So it is our obligation to see to it that we inspire Kedusha and Torah love in Yerushalayim. The battle of Yerushalayim is not one of borders, not whether it's Ramat Eshkol or French Hill. The battle is whether we in the Torah community know how to bring about the eternal condition of Yerushalayim as a holy city. We have an obligation as Torah committed Jews to fight this battle. But the battle must be fought first among ourselves. When the Goyim will see that the Jewish people is united in its determination to retain Yerushalayim, it will be ours. Again, we come back to Rav Kook. Rav Kook said about the famous first Rashi in the Chumash. The Rashi discusses the question, why does the Chumash begin with Bereshis Bor Elokim, with the creation of the universe? Because Rashi, in his prophetic wisdom, and remember, Rashi lived almost 1,000 years ago. Rashi said, the time will come when the Gentiles will say to us, Listimatim, you are robbers, you stole the land from us. Kodesh Baruch Hu then would say, I created the world, I give it to whom I want to. And he quotes the Pasuk, which all of us know, Koach Masov Higit Le'amo, the strength of his deeds he told his people, Loseis Lehem Nachlas Goyim, to give them the inheritance of the nations. So Rav Kook asked a simple question. If it is meant as a message to the Gentiles, then why does David say, Koach Masov Higit Le'amo, the strength of his deeds he told his people? Should it not rather say, Koach Masov Higit Le'umim, the strength of his deeds he told the nations? Said Rav Kook again so prophetically, Koach Masov Higit Le'amo, if the Jewish people have the convictions, if the Jewish people have the strength and the determination, Koach Masov Higit Le'amo, then he will give them Nachlas Goyim. And so the message I have today is, we have to bring about understanding among Chilonim and Datiim to the extent that we can, the determination to retain Yerushalayim will depend upon the strength of the Torah spirit which we are able to infuse in the streets of Yerushalayim. Is this an appeal for Aliyah? If you wish, in a way it may be. But it certainly is an appeal to strengthen the hands of all Torah institutions, especially in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. If it will be Ir HaKodesh, then, as the Navi said before, speak to the cities of Yehuda, Hinei Elokeichem. One other point. Har Choma, which is now part of the struggle of this present government, is really what it means. The mountain, the mount of the wall. Yerushalayim has the Choma, it has the wall. There's the Chomat HaRabayit, the wall around the site of the Beis HaMikdash. There's the Chomat Yerushalayim. We have to be the wall. In what way do I mean it? Some of the Mefarshim explain to us the minhag at a chasana, at a chuppah, where the kala marches or walks slowly around the chasana 3 times or 7 times. And one of the perushim explains that the reason why the kala walks around the chasana is not like some people in the radical movements wish to say the Jewish wife is subservient to her husband, a sign of being obedient to her husband. That's a lot of nonsense. The Mefarshim explain, the Gemara tells us that me, a person who lives beli isha, without a wife, lives beli choma, without a wall. The Jewish wife is the wall around the Jewish home. Her marching around the chasan simply says, I will create a Jewish home, and I will protect a Jewish home. I'm marching around like a wall surrounding my home, being jealous of my children's education, being concerned about my husband's learning of Torah, about the learning of Torah in our home, be worried about the children's future in Yiddishkeit. And this is why the kala walks around the chasan. Ani choma, I am the wall. And therefore, when we speak about Har Choma, it is more than just a word. The mountain of the wall. We have the wall around the old city. We have the wall around Nachlat Shiva. We have Har Choma. And that wall is the wall of Torah study and Torah observance. If we can win the battle of Yerushalayim among our own people, if we can convince the discotheques and cheap nightclubs have no place in Yerushalayim, so that the goyim will look upon us in marvel and in admiration, then the battle of Yerushalayim, in the way in which Kissinger had in mind, will be won by us. And again, al tiftachu b'nedivim, not rely upon princes. Ben adam she'ena teshua, people who see no help in what we want to accomplish, then we have to do it ourselves. And so we are determined that Yerushalayim will be united forever, undivided. But this undivided also has to mean among the Jewish people. Now, I have no illusions about the future of peace among Jews. We are the kind of Am Chacham V'Novam, the Torah describes us, as a nation that is wise and sagacious. And Nachum Sokolov, the veteran Zionist leader, once used to say, he once said, we are the Am Chacham V'Novam, the people of wisdom and understanding. Then this folk will get a little Sechel Oich, but good given. If these smart people have Sechel too, then we would be in very good shape. And this is what is missing these days. This is a kind of an appeal to ourselves and to a religious community of whatever stream of opinion to work together for the same goals and the same ideas, and to convince our fellow Israelites and our fellow Jews that Yerushalayim indeed is Ir HaKodesh, from which will emanate Kedusha to the rest of the land. May this be the will of the Rabbanu Shalom, and may we bear in mind the Koach Masov Higit Le'amo, that God told the strength to us, to the Jewish people, then Lasses Lahem Nachlas Goyim. I thank you very much for listening to me, and I hope this message will be properly understood. Thank you. Good evening.